Thank you for joining Victory Center Church's Pastor Charlie today. We hope you're blessed from today's message. If you would like to know more about Victory Center, please go to victorycenter.org for more information. Enjoy the message. I know breakthrough is coming. By
faith, I see a miracle. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. And you've been greeted this morning, but we greet you also. Now, either online and you that are here, we would encourage you to prepare to take a few notes along the way. And then go over your notes, meditate on them, because that's the way you glean from the scriptures and begin to learn something and become a doer of the Word of God. And so once again, thank you for coming. And I'm going to share this morning, if I was putting a title on this, Becoming Established in Righteousness. Righteousness probably in the church as a general is one of the most misunderstood subjects, but it is one that probably is misunderstood in the church, because when you hear the word righteousness, you automatically connect it with works and how good you are and et cetera. The Bible does teach us there are works of righteousness, but righteousness is a gift totally separate from works. Not even related, but it's a gift that is given to you when you were born again. Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 26 through 28 to you. And this passage of Scripture describes to you and I what man, the way man, what man was created to do in the very beginning, and then following through. But unfortunately, Adam committed high treason and fell, and basically he's kind of sold us out there. And then from Genesis chapter 3, that is why the rest of the Bible is written, because of Adam's fall. Talking about the redemption, how Jesus came to redeem man from the fall and restore to man that sense of righteousness and authority and dominion. Verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let us make man in our image. Now, to me, that's a pretty outstanding statement. He said, we're going to make man like us. In our image, or the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Trinity here, after our likeness. He's made man after the likeness of God and in his image. And then he makes this statement, let them have dominion. Now, man was created to rule and reign here in the earth. In the beginning, man was created to rule and reign. Now, through Jesus, once again, dominion and authority is restored to us. How far we'll get in that in the scriptures this morning. So let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Next verse. So God created man in his own image. Again, he's telling us that, being rather redundant, but he wants us to get that principle. Created him male and female, created he them. Verse 28. And God blessed them. Now, one of the first things that God did after he created man and woman was he did what? He blessed them. And you know, God is not done blessing his people yet. And God said unto them, be fruitful. Now, God's plan is for you to be fruitful here in the earth or be blessed. Have a measure of success here in the earth. Multiply and replenish there. Subdue it. Rule and reign, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I'm going to pray again. Now, Father, we've read these scriptures that you impressed upon us to read. And, Father, I'm reminded of how man was created and what he was created to do. He was created to rule and reign. He was created to be blessed. He was created to have dominion here in the earth. And we're created in your likeness, Lord, in your image. Jesus, we're created to be like you walked here in the earth and on the earth. We're created to exercise that kind of dominion. Lord, help us to raise up, grow up to a higher level in you and have a greater understanding of your plan and purpose for us here in the earth, and that we are redeemed, not partially, a little bit. We are totally and completely redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Now turn to someone and say, man, I'm glad I came to church today. Ah, some of you are a tad weak. And so you turn to someone, well, I'm kind of still undecided yet. It's, you know, sometimes we talk about the devil, and I understand that, but when we mention the devil, one thing we need to understand and realize, he's under our feet. We have authority over him in Jesus' name. And basically, it's wrong thinking, and that causes us to believe wrong, and then that causes us to talk wrong, and then it causes us to have wrong actions. That's basically what defeats us in life. Wrong thinking causes us to believe wrong. And then when we believe, or whatever we believe, that's what we talk. And I think you can see that division in America now, especially in politics, and let's just forget politics. And then we have wrong action. And so that's why it's important that we renew our mind in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 with the Word of God, that we're no longer conformed to the ways of the world, but then he says we're transformed by the renewing, or we're changed by the renewing of our mind. And when we begin to discover what Jesus has done for us and who he is in us, it changes our mind. Hey, I'm more than a conqueror. Bless God, I can do all things through Christ because he enables me and infuses me with his power to overcome any difficulty. So that makes you an overcomer. Amen. Now, when we talk about righteousness, and I may mention earlier, so many times righteousness is connected to works, along that line. And to rule that out would be error in itself, because the Bible speaks of works of righteousness. We don't work to be righteous. We work, our works are because we are righteous. And I'm going to begin reading to you and teaching you this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll begin at verse 17. Now, don't forget our foundation scripture, even though we're not teaching on authority this morning, we have in Jesus. We're in Jesus' likeness and his image. This is the way man was in the beginning. Created to have authority, created to subdue. It's kind of a process sometimes in subduing. But we're to have dominion over everything, the fowls and all of the animals here on the earth. Now let's begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to begin reading to you in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Now if any man, let me read it to you this way. Now if any man is born again, because to be in Christ we must accept him as our personal Savior. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, some translations will have a new creation. Something new has happened when we're born again. We may not be aware of it because maybe a lack of knowledge, maybe not being taught, but something has happened here. We are new. If any man be in Christ, we are a new creature. Now it says what? Old things are what? Passed away. Now behold, or pay attention. Wow. All things are what? Become new. Now somewhere along the line in churchianity, And I would like to phrase that not so much church entity, but in religious cliques and phrases that we use in the Christian world. We have this concept that when someone comes to Jesus, maybe come out of a little rough lifestyle or et cetera, that even though they're born again on their way to heaven, they're still second rate. They're unworthy. They should now, even though they're born again, they should kind of have to pay for what they've done. And that concept kind of meanders through people's mind, and really the Pharisee in the church would always point their finger at some individual maybe that come out of that lifestyle and say, hey, they're unworthy. Now, the Bible says here that if any man be in Christ, he is what? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, where's my baby at today? I feel like wringing your neck here. We'll just pass over our example today. I had arranged, I thought. I guess my communication wasn't real good that had the baby was going to come up, and I think we can understand that in relationship to a baby, you know, mom was going to bring the baby up. But the baby doesn't have a past. It's new. Doesn't have much of a past history at all. 9 months in his mama's womb. That's about it. No history. Now, this is what this scripture talks about. People that are born again, doesn't make any difference whether they're 5 years old or 50, 80, or 90 years old. They are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So kind of file that there in your mind as I follow through this passage of scripture. And I'm going to read this through verse 21, and then I'm going to come back and begin to teach you from verses 18 and 19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us, or hath brought us into harmony. Now, what's God done? He's brought us into harmony unto himself by Jesus Christ. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, this next verse tells us what the ministry of reconciliation is. And when I finish reading this, we'll come back and teach just a tad on verse 19. To wit, or that means to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, you and I have been given that ministry, or that word. And now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead to be reconciled to God. Now listen to verse 21. For he hath made him, or Jesus, to be sin for us, even though Jesus didn't know sin. Now why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now I want to begin sharing with you from verses 18 and 19. Now I want to read this to you from the Amplified Translation, starting in verse 18. Now this is talking about the ministry of reconciliation, about how God has brought the world into harmony to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. And then is given to you and I that same ministry. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. Now, verse 19. It was God. Now listen to this verse of Scripture. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling or bringing into harmony and restoring the world to favor with Himself. Now restoring what? The world. Now listen, what God is doing or not doing. Not counting up and holding against men their trespasses. But what? He canceled them. And now it's committed to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to favor. Now this verse of Scripture is telling us that God has brought the world into harmony to Himself. How did He do that? He laid the sin of the world, any sin that you and I could think of, on His Son, Jesus. Not only did He put the sin on Jesus, but He also judged Jesus with our sin. Now, we think this way, or the church kind of thinks this way, or the religious mindset thinks this way. You're never going to make heaven because these people out in the world are doing these things, etc., and that. And I guess there could be a measure of truth in that, and probably not a lot. I'm talking about the person that's never been born again, because God's already laid that sin on Jesus. Now, what the world will be guilty of is not accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what they will be guilty of, or I, or you. You're not going to be guilty of some great sin out there because He's laid it on Jesus and judged Jesus with that. And so this is why we become new creatures in Jesus Christ. And old things are passed away. Amen? And so it's not the sins we commit before we accept Jesus. It's just not accepting Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that He's made for us. Now, however, once we are born again, I don't know about you, but I've missed the mark a time or two. Then we appropriate 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. This is written to the believer. The epistles are written to the believer. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Now listen to this. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that means we're made righteous. And again, now, it's interesting here, and kind of circle, if you write in your Bible, you may not write in your Bible. I write all over my Bible where I can because it brings me notes along and jogs my memory. Now, the word cleanse means to not only cleanse and purify from the pollution of sin and guilt. Did you catch that last part? Pollution of sin and guilt. Now, then when we're made righteous, we shouldn't have that sense of unworthiness or guilt. Now, I'm going to give you the definition of righteousness here very briefly. Now, I probably, well, no doubt, I like E.W. Kenyon's definition of righteousness better than any others as far as expository, dictionaries, concordance, etc. And I'll give you the biblical definition also, but E.W. Kenyon words it this way: it is the ability to enter into the presence of God without any sense of inferiority, unworthiness, or guilt. Now, how many of you this morning, or how many of us, would enter into the presence of God? And we should have already entered there or been there this morning without any sense of inferiority. Now, when I enter into the presence of God and sense myself unworthy, and there isn't anybody that would be any more unworthy than I in my own ability. But I'm not in my own ability. I am what? In Jesus Christ. And for me or you to enter into the presence of the Father and feel unworthy and shame and guilt, you'll never worship Him. You'll never ask in faith. You'll never have confidence in your prayers. Is really trodding the sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ under our feet. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, and by virtue of the new birth, has made you worthy. Righteousness is who you are through Jesus Christ. Jesus, this passage of Scripture that I read to you, when you meditate on it, is so awesome that He made us righteous. Verse 21, let me read it to you again. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who do no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Now I'm going to turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 17. And let me share just a little more with you. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Now, I'd encourage you to read the entire chapter of this when you go home, or this week, kind of file it someplace, and when you have a chance, read it. And I'd encourage you to read it in maybe some other translations other than the King James. Even the King James is pretty clear in this area, but a lot of times where the King uses justification, other translation will use the word righteousness. Now I'm going to read verse 17 to you, and then I'll read it also from the Amplified Translation. For if by one man's offense, now this is Adam. Adam made an offense, sold us out, committed high treason. We're hearing a lot about treason in America today. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Because of Adam's transgression, then death comes into the human race. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace, or I would word it this way, those that are born again or accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now this states pretty clearly that righteousness is a what? Gift. It's something. Now Paul worded it a little differently. He wrote Romans, he wrote Corinthians. He said we're made righteous. Now I'm not trying to be I don't know how to express it, off color, vulgar in any way. I wouldn't do that at all, especially from the pulpit, and I wouldn't do it, you know, in private life. But the baby, your grandchildren, they were either born. I know we got all this thing. It's so stupid. Don't know what sex they are today. But they're born a male or they're born a female. They're born a boy or they're born a girl. Now, when you were born again, you was born righteous. You was not born again unrighteous. You have no problem telling whether the baby's a girl or a boy. Now, it should be the same way spiritually. You were born righteous. Get rid of this mindset up here. You're unworthy. No, you're worthy. Because of Jesus. What His blood did for you. What He did for you. And so let's don't make His sacrifice to us of none avail. He didn't pay enough price for us. Now let's read it from the Amplified Translation, verse 17. For because of one man's trespass, well, again, that one man is Adam, life's offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with Himself, reign as kings in light. Now, you remember, hold that there. You remember what we read just a tad in Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28? It talked about ruling. It talked about having dominion. It talked about subduing. And here it says, we shall reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now back it up just a little bit. I want this part here. Reign as what? The bottom part. Reign as kings in life. Now, God's plan, once again, through Jesus Christ, has overpowered what Jesus did for us, overpowered Adam's fall. This is what chapter 5 of Romans is all about when you read it. Jesus trumps anything that took place when Adam fell. And now then, when we accept Jesus Christ, His plan again is in the New Testament, in the day you and I are living, that we again reign and rule as kings in life. Now, I have written, I told you I write in my Bible, I don't have a very big margin. If I was buying another Bible, and I don't know how many times this has been rebound, but I would get a bigger margin here, but I have written here, reign means to prevail anywhere. Rule, kingdom living. Then he's saying to us, my plan and purpose for you is to prevail, have kingdom living wherever you go. Rule and reign in life through that gift of righteousness. See, you're righteous. You're made that way. You're whole. You're a new creature. I may turn there before we finish this morning, but in Corinthians it names everything. I say everything, let me rephrase that. It names several things that the Corinthians were. A lot of things that is going on today. He said, you were once that, but you are not that now because you've accepted Jesus Christ and you're new creatures in Jesus Christ. Now, the truth of it is, you may have done what they said you did, but you are not who they say you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, and I will read verses 1 and 2 to you from that passage of Scripture. Now, while you're turning to the book of Hebrews, well, I was going to share a passage from the book of Romans, but we'll hang on to that for just a few moments. I'm going to begin reading to you in verse 1 of chapter 10, and may read through verse 3 here. Now, the book of Hebrews, after it gets started, there for several chapters is talking about the superiority of the blood of Jesus over the blood of bulls and goats. Jesus' blood is far superior. And he would talk about, and this is where religion lives today. They're still kind of under the old covenant, under the blood of bulls and goats, even though they're born again. Now, the blood of bulls and goats only covered sin. It's kind of yucky to me, but once a year, the covering was pulled back, and there's a remembrance of the sin. See, that's what religion, it likes to rub your nose in it, in their past. That's Old Testament, that's doing dispute to the blood of Jesus Christ. And so in the book of Hebrews, Paul talks about the spirit of the blood of Jesus that doesn't cover sin. It blots it out where there's no remembrance of it. Not at all. Now, if there's no remembrance of it, you and I just, well, quit remembering it. And for me to point my finger in your face and said, look what you did, that's not the Holy Ghost talking to you. It's the adversary talking to you. Now, in this verse, the reason I'm reading it to you, this passage rather, he talks about we should not even have a sin consciousness. Now, where sin is preached, what kind of consciousness are you going to have? You're going to have a sin consciousness. Now, even though you're born again, if you never hear the truth, you're going to be more established in shame and guilt and unworthiness than you are in righteousness. Paul said in Corinthians 15:33, awake unto righteousness. Isaiah 54:14 said that we should become established in righteousness. And so for you and I to become established in righteousness, we must be taught about righteousness of who we are in Jesus. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, Jesus is made into us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus has made that to us. That's one of the approximate 133 verses in the New Testament, most of them in the epistles, of the in Him verses, by Him, through Him, in Jesus, in Christ, tells us who we are in Him. So it says, through Him, we have wisdom, once again, what we're teaching this morning, righteousness, sanctification, set apart, and then we have redemption through Jesus. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Now, why do we want to hang on to something that's not going to make us complete? Next verse. For then would they have ceased to be offered. See, they kept having to offer the same sacrifice, do the same thing, because it just wasn't enough to make us complete or perfect. Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more what? No more, I like to read it this way, no more consciousness of sins. No more shame. No more guilt. No more feeling unworthy because of maybe you're stumbling or missing the mark and you've dealt with it. I understand the law of sowing and reaping. But God is all about restoring and restoration. It's what God is all about. And then he begins to share about the superiority of the blood of Jesus. And where one time his blood was offered, and because it was a complete sacrifice, no more. No more does the blood of Jesus have to be shed, because it was the perfect and complete sacrifice. So now we understand, now the blood makes us complete and perfect in Jesus Christ. And we are the righteousness of God through Jesus. Can you kind of remember 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21? He hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. I'm going to read it just a little differently. In him, or by, or through Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, that's a pretty big statement, that we're the righteousness of God. How? Through Jesus, not in our own works. Now, you may get here under the law, and I really probably don't have time to delve into that this morning, but we may a tad. And you may do real good for a day or two, but you're going to miss the mark. And you're going to try it again, and you're going to miss the mark. You're going to try it again, and you'll miss the mark. And then you're going to talk about, what's the use? I can't do it. See, God's got a better way. He's made us righteous, or have right standing with God, through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, unfortunately, the story that I'm going to share with you, and this is a true story, I'm not real familiar with this, but I've dealt with this many times, you know, since 77. That's a lot of years. But it's a kind of a challenging attitude involved in this story, because people have been taught they're unworthy. Listen, for the Christian to be unworthy, Jesus has to be unworthy. Religion would never dare say that. Jesus has made you worthy. Jesus is worthy. And this story is being lived out all the time. This young woman got pregnant. Her family disowned her. That's unfortunate. She had shamed the family, ruined the family's name. All of that, that's what the family told her. And she went to work, was doing real well and kind of short come the end of the month, and she took $17 out of the register and paid it back. But then she began to feel the shame and the guilt, and because of the stolen money and as circumstances, so she went to this ministry and basically emptied herself and told him what she had done, and et cetera. And this is terrible. But the minister told her she'd have to die and go to hell. Now, here's the unfortunate part. Because of this woman's lack of knowledge, she believed him. That there was no hope for her. And actually, she lost her mind and spent the next 55 years institutionalized. Yeah, there in Kalamazoo, Michigan, actually. And over the years, some of her family began to hear the truth of the Word of God. And then asked this pastor that they knew that preached the Word of God and the truth of it to go see her. And he consented to do that. And when he went, she sat on the edge of the bed rocking back and forth, and she said, "I'm damned." She just kept saying, "I'm damned, I'm damned, I'm damned." Over and over, "I'm damned." She didn't even know she had a daughter. She didn't know that she was a grandmother. And it took him some time to get her calmed down from saying, "I'm damned, I'm damned," sitting there on the bed rocking back and forth. I mean, she had no hope. That's terrible. Proverbs says in chapter 13, when hope is taken away, man, there's not even a reason to keep going on when you have no hope. And he finally got her calmed down using the authority of the Jesus name, and finally asked her, "Can you hear me finally?" And she had to ask several times. And finally a voice came back. It sounded like it come from another world, kind of like out of a cave. And said, "Yes, I can hear you." And then he began to tell her about the grace and the compassion of Jesus Christ. Very condensed. Told how Jesus had died for her and loved her unconditionally. And the plan of salvation, and the long and short of it, she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. That's awesome, but why? Sad part, 55 years later? See, if you're 20, you can't even fathom 55 years, but 55 wasted years? And here's the miraculous part of it. 1 month later, they released her from the institution. This pastor began to teach her about righteousness. See, the amazing thing and the challenging part, the Lord didn't tell us to go into the world and make converts. He told us to make disciples, disciplined followers. And that's what pastoring is about. Now, the evangelist, he gets them born again, but they need to get under the ministry of a pastor where they can be taught, become a disciplined follower. Now, she had so much shame, it just destroyed her life. Now, Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read this passage of Scripture to you. In Romans chapter 8, coming out of, if you're familiar, in Romans chapter 7, is almost a hopeless situation. Paul realized the hopelessness of trying to live for Jesus without the Holy Spirit involved. And then in verse 1, and I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 to you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now when you are born again, or when we are born again, there is no condemnation any longer. That's the plan. Then he said, we must keep following after the Spirit. Now, that's going to be on different levels of our knowledge. We're not set up to judge the other person, whether they're walking after the Spirit. Hold your finger here, because we are coming back. And I want to read short passage, just a verse of Scripture to you. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yes, he's beholden, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Now, we would like to point the finger and maybe judge somebody that's missing the mark. He said, don't judge. God is what? This is actually, I should have told you where I was going. This is in Romans chapter 14, verse 4. God is able to make him stand when it's true repentance. So we don't judge. Romans chapter 8 again. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life. Now there is a law of Spirit of life. Paul contrasted in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, there's also a law of death. And he said, if you're just going to minister under the old covenant, now listen. There are people that say we don't even preach out of the old covenant. That's error. But Jesus has brought a better covenant for us. We don't live under the blood of bulls and goats. We live under the blood of Jesus Christ. So he talks about the law. There's a law. What is the law of life? The law of life is in who? In Jesus Christ. There's life in Jesus. There's life in him. There's no condemnation. There's no shame. There's no guilt. I don't care what you've done, where you've been. If you've come to Jesus Christ, the plan of God is that you walk right into his presence because you've been made righteous. Bless God. Get some courage and backbone about you. Walk into his presence. Be the man God says you are. Hallelujah. You're the righteousness of God. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, this Jesus is life. John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to what? Give us life and life abundantly. Man, it's a new day in Jesus. Man, if you'd meditate on 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, it'll change you. For the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Now let me read that to you, or you can read it on the overhead. I want to read that to you from the Message Bible. With the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, wow, I like the way it's expressed because that's just the way it works. Continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. I like to say, hey, there's a new sheriff in town. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air. Hallelujah. Freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. You ought to write there. I have written chapters right there. Low-lying black cloud. Message, MSG. Continuous low-lying. Just, I tell you, talked about, use the word tiny here. The devil is going to continually hammer you, hammer you, hammer you. You're unworthy, you're unworthy. You're no good. Just keep hammering you and hammering until you stand up and use the authority of Jesus' name and take dominion over him and put him under your feet. Amen. Now see, this is, just give you that example. 55 years. Example I give you. A cloud, just a tyrant, just ruled over this woman. Until truth came. And truth always brings light. Listen, the Bible says the entrance of his word brings light and understanding to the simple. Psalms 119:130. The entrance of his word brings light. And what else? Understanding. Now, I would read it this way. His word is going to bring you hope. I keep hearing this word, rise up, man. Rise up, women, and be who you are. You're his righteousness. Now, turn with me to the book of James. I was going to give you several reasons why it's important we recognize our righteousness. Now, Paul said, I'd be found in his righteousness, not my own. I'd like to go to the book of Galatians, powerful. Philippians is powerful on righteousness. But let's go to the book of James, chapter 5. And I use this example from time to time, depending on what we're teaching. But this example that we have here in the book of James is probably one of the most classic examples of a man that is established in righteousness. And he talks about Elijah. And I'll read it to you from the King James, and then we'll read it also from the Message Bible. And I'm going to begin reading to you in actually verse 16. Now, to me, this starts in verse 14. It talks about praying for the sick. Verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another that you may be healed. Now, he's just has finished talking about anointing the sick with oil and praying the prayer of faith, and they'll be raised up. And even if they committed sin, they'll be forgiven. Now, I want to just touch on this. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. In the biblical principle that we have here, this is simply saying, get your relationships right. If you need to bestow forgiveness. If you need to forgive, forgive. If you need to ask forgiveness, ask it. That's all it's saying. It's not talking about taking an ad out in the local newspaper and writing all your faults. That's ignorance gone to seed. I like to express it this way. If you feel that need, I believe I'd go catch me a jackrabbit, kill the jackrabbit, and then shoot the jackrabbit when I got done. Ain't going down the road. Now, here we go, verse 17. Elijah, I'm going to put Elijah, that's spelled a little different in King, was a man. Well, let me finish verse 16. I got stopped there on that. All right, verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of what kind of man? Righteous man does what? Avails much. Now, Elijah, or Elias, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now let's look at that in the Amplified Translation, and we will pick up in verse 17. I like the way it words there. Verse 17 in the Amplified. Now Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have. Feelings, affections, and a constitution like ours. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain. And no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. But it just got done saying Elijah was what kind of man? He's like us, same feeling, but he was also established in righteousness. You know, when you read part of the account of Elijah, he run from Jezebel and begged God to take his life because he was scared of Jezebel. But he got things right there. God is a good God. Now, I'm going to close by putting your remembrance of just a few verses of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, talking about Jesus. He was made to be sin for who? You and I. He didn't know sin. He's made to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We were born righteous. Romans 5:17, we're to rule and reign in life through Jesus Christ by the gift of righteousness.
You are listening to Pastor Charlie from Victor Center Church. We hope you are blessed by today's message. If you would like more information, please go to victorycenter.org. Thanks and be blessed.